and Hanukkah Sameach. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and may you all have a very happy Hanukkah that begins next week, lighting the first candle on December 16th, Tuesday at sundown. And as you might have figured out, that's our topic this evening. So make sure you get your Bibles and have it open to John 10. But first, a little news. Israel will be going to early elections on March 17th due to major policy differences causing way too much disarray. And so Prime Minister Netanyahu just had to let go of two of his left liberal parties. Now, let me explain. Normally, Israel's elections to the Knesset parliament are held about once every 4 years, unless a party drops out, leaving less than a majority of seats, which is 61. Remember, Israel's voters elect a party, not a person. And the leader of the party receiving the most votes is then the prime minister, who will have so many days to form a coalition government with other parties of his liking, who come the closest to his own ideals. Of course, the downside of this is the other parties always have requirements that they expect to be met before they'll commit themselves. Case in point is the Hasidic party, who say they will only join if their people are not forced to join the military due to their yeshiva studies. Well, you get the picture. The main reason the two parties that were just forced out, it was all over the Jewish settlements in East Jerusalem area. But you need to know that Obama, who is overjoyed, and his team, his cronies, is prepared to do all they can to be sure Netanyahu's Likud party is not reelected. And they do that by maintaining close ties with the ousted, now ex-parties. Obama has lost no time in setting up appointments with them and to receive the heads of these parties, which are sworn to overthrow Netanyahu. He's inviting them to the White House for some attractive photo ops designed to signify to the Israeli voter that the U.S. president would favor their election to the future government, and the country as a whole would gain tangibly from a different government to the incumbent one. No surprise there. The White House campaign would be accompanied in Washington for putting Netanyahu and his policies in a derogatory light, and has already begun hinting that it may emulate the Europeans by turning the screws on Israel with sanctions as punishment for their settlements and their current construction of them. Now, this breakup is seen as an opportunity to finally get rid of Netanyahu and to bring Israel back to negotiations with the Palestinians, with the Obama administration finally chalking up a success. At the same time, some senior sources in the U.S. Capitol privately say that political developments in Israel could quickly prove premature if there is another round of violence overtaking the Middle East. But for now, the circles around the United States president are highly optimistic about their chances of forcing Netanyahu's exit. Meanwhile, Israel has struck down a supply of Russian-delivered advanced anti-air missiles and radar, whose use was supposedly for Assad's Syrian army, but was caught being transferred to Hezbollah in Lebanon, and therefore were thwarted by the Israeli airstrikes last Sunday. Moscow is mad and reacted swiftly and angrily with a note to the United Nations yesterday accusing Israel of aggressive action and demanding that such attacks should not happen again. Well, the Assad regime has always held back from reacting to any past Israeli air raids for preventing advanced weaponry from reaching Hezbollah. But this time, spokesmen in Damascus warned that their government's response would be clandestine and cause Israel unimaginable harm. On another note, security is on high alert at the United States embassies around the world due to a scathing report released today about the CIA's use of torture, much more than we were ever told since 9/11. We'll have more on that next week. So, remember, light your first Hanukkah candle next Tuesday at sundown, and remember, it really is you that keeps this program on the air, and we are at a loss this month, so please pray about how you can partner with this unique ministry. You can send your end-of-the-year Christmas love offering to P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Now, don't click that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Happy Hanukkah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host, and with our effervescent Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, Kent. And as usual, let's open the program with prayer. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. For we do bless your holy name. It is the name above all names. Oh, Abba, we thank you and give you the utmost praise, especially for sending your only begotten Son, Yeshua, who saved us from our penalty for sin. We continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests recently given to me. So many needs and requests, especially that you will aggressively pull the heartstrings of our loved ones unto salvation. We beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal your precious saints of their sickness and diseases. We come against all cancers and immune disorders that are plaguing those who are called by your name and might be listening right now. And we truly express our gratitude for the answered prayers and the recent blessings. May those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes, and with power that only your word can provide, to stand firm against that evil one. We claim healings for drug and alcohol addictions afflicting our loved ones. And Lord, increase the wooing of your Holy Spirit on the many backsliders, and also speak to the hearts of those who let the cares and busyness of this life take precedence over personal time spent with you. We grieve over the numerous Christians who are being grossly persecuted around the world. May you keep their sufferings light and free them from their oppressors. And may we also include prayers for the finances of this ministry. And now be with us as we study your word, and bless with abundance those who set aside this time of Bible study, continuing their journey and growing in you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And the phone number, should you like to call in with a question, is 888-677-WORD. Or during the program, feel free to email live at shofarlive@yahoo.com.
That's shofarlive@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. And listeners, if your Bible is handy, as it should be since this really is a Bible study, please have it open to John chapter 10.
And Sheila, I've heard you say that above all else, Hanukkah is also called the Feast of Dedication and the Feast of Lights, which is the most important feast to the Christian. Am I right?
Yes, you are, Kent. And particularly the eighth day of Hanukkah. You know, since I first connected these, I think, well-placed dots over 20 years ago, I have come to emphatically believe that Jesus' incarnation by the Holy Spirit into Mary's womb occurred on the eighth day of Hanukkah because of a lot of things that I've studied.
And let me add, when you pointed out those dots, it makes perfect sense and actually easily understood. I know you're going to teach us all about this feast tonight and probably next week as well.
Oh, you are so right. And actually, I do go over this most every year because it's so important. And also, the ones that hear this maybe every year or for a second or at least the third time, that they'll begin to feel more comfortable explaining this miracle to others, particularly their family members over the Christmas holidays. So please, those of you that are listening, take notes and try to share these deeper gold nugget truths, which are really not being taught in church that I know of. Do you know of any, Kent?
Well, not really.
I would imagine that some are probably talking about Hanukkah. I mean, what you think? I'm sure. But maybe not.
Maybe
in
some,
such,
yeah.
Yeah, but maybe not in quite so much detail.
Mm-hmm.
I do go into some detail, I guess. Oh, well, that's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned, because God is such a detailed person. And it's just so neat when he shows us another gold nugget.
Right.
And I have to share that with people. So, anyway, a few months ago, we brought up the fact that he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. I think we did that in September.
And that's the greater Feast of Lights.
Right. So we have the lesser and the greater. The lesser being Hanukkah. Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not in importance, because let's face it, without the incarnation, there would be no birth, or Christians for that matter. So, about 20 years ago, I decided, wouldn't it be nice to try to figure out when Jesus was placed into Mary's womb to grow for a normal gestation time that a baby would develop, which is about 280 days. So, taking any year except a leap year on a Jewish calendar from Tishri 15, which is the first day of Tabernacles, and I was already sure that Jesus was born on that day, so that was set. But if you take that day and just count back 280 days, it'll bring it to the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Or simpler way, but not exact.
Well, yeah.
You go back 9 months.
Yeah.
And you're in the general ballpark of, you know, the end of Kislev and the beginning of Tevet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are. So.
I'm just kind of looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, Jesus' number is eight.
That's right.
And, of course, that ends, it symbolizes eternity.
That's right.
You know?
It's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps going, doesn't it? Sort of like a zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you turn it sideways, the infinity sign.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just want people to understand how very, very meticulously detailed God is. And he reminds me all the time of Proverbs 25:2.
I like the way you paraphrase it. So God hides it so we can find it.
I know. I just think that's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to God's glory to hide it, he says.
And to our glory when we find it.
You got it. And let me add, this makes you a real friend to God, as we explained a few weeks ago. But again, you must be looking, because buried treasure doesn't just jump out at you from under the ground. You got to dig. So let's dig into John 10 and follow with me as I point out a few nuggets, okay?
All right.
Okay, I'm going to read verse 22 of chapter 10. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Okay, let's stop right there. We know God doesn't waste words. So why would John feel the need to tell us it was in the winter?
Because there are two feasts of dedication. The other's in the fall, called Tabernacles.
That's correct. So by telling us it was in the winter, we know it's Hanukkah.
And where was I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's right. I just kind of like adding a little bit there. But I also want to point out the fact that it says, now it was. Now that word was, if you look it up, it's number 1096, Genomai, and it has a wide variety of applications. But it can mean at the end also. And I think I showed you before we started the program in the Strongs, where it says it could be at the end of the Feast of Dedication,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think, yeah, that makes perfect sense, because I'm thinking what we're going to see next probably occurred on the eighth day.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Now, where's the porch at?
Oh, well, actually, if you can get a visual since we're on the radio, but it looks like a surrounding porch all around the back and up the sides of the open court called the Court of the Gentiles. And it actually had some stone pillars in front of it every so many feet where they could actually get away from the wind or the rain or even the sun for that matter. But the thing about it is that both Jews and Gentiles congregated there. So, you know, it was in the outer court. But again, it was under a little, like a portico, and both Jews and Gentiles congregated. Interesting is that is where Jesus stood to tell the people, both Jews and Gentiles, that he and his Father were one.
Everything had a purpose.
That's right. It certainly does. Every little tiny detail has a purpose. Let me say this, too, before we continue. Before the temple could be rededicated, remember after Antiochus Epiphanes did that abomination of desolation, he actually sacrificed a pig on the brazen altar. Well, they decided when they rededicated it that they needed a new altar built that had actually clean stones. Oh, not that they didn't wash them, of course, but they could never be considered clean because they were so porous, you know? So in other words, pig's blood probably penetrated down through those holes, you know what I'm saying? So they felt that it had to be replaced.
So what did they do with these stones from the old altar?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, according to tradition, these stones were actually stored in the portico or the porch of Solomon until such time as explain what they should do with them. So as I can visualize, could it be that when those Jewish leaders looked around the portico of Solomon for stones to throw at the Messiah, which we'll see that they do, they actually probably reached for those very pieces of that old altar. Gosh, what divine irony to hurl a symbol of the sacrificial system at the one who was about to sacrifice himself for us all. It's just amazing. And in fact, we're going to see this now in verse 24, and I'm going to read that. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "Well, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life."
And of course we know God can only give eternal life.
That's right. So he was saying he was God. And then he continues and he says, "And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one."
And of course, then they begin to stone him for blasphemy.
That's right. So basically, no one can say to you, if you're witnessing to someone, that Jesus did not claim that he was God. Because he did. And right there.
Right there was John 10:30.
Yes, that's a good one to memorize and always remember, because I have had many people say to me, "Jesus never said he was God." So you need to know, oh, yes, he did in John 10:30. Mm-hmm. So, and otherwise, why would they have stoned him? They said they were stoning him for blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure.
And here's another great point. He chose the same time period, and again, I believe it was probably the eighth day of Hanukkah, to declare this truth.
On the anniversary of his incarnation.
Amazing, isn't it?
And actually, such breathtaking detail.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? Again, studying the way I've been studying, I just know that it probably was the eighth day. Mm-hmm. I just know it in my heart. And another thing before we talk about the miracle of oil, you know how often we talk about Genesis 1:14, where God said he created the lights in the firmament for signs and seasons?
And that word seasons means appointment.
appointments. That's right.
And God keeps his appointments.
He always does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have mentioned that it was a full moon on his birth, right? Tishri 15 was a full moon,
mm-hmm.
middle of the month. And it was a new moon at his incarnation. For the eighth day of Hanukkah is in the beginning of the month of Tebeth.
Can you explain the significance there?
Actually, a couple of reasons. For the word signs is oath, which means a signal of importance. Everything is important. And the moon is certainly important. In fact, Rosh Kadosh was a special day, which basically means the first of the, of every month, the first of a new month, and the Jews would always have a celebratory meal. It was like the moon was being born again. And actually, on that idiom, most people don't realize that. Which is why I always like to point out that when Jesus talked with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, John points out that it was at night. Now, there's, again, a reason. He got us to know it was night. And to me, that's saying Jesus was probably pointing to a new moon when he said to Nicodemus, you have to be born again.
Right. It's a type of us being born again.
That's right, because mm-hmm. he would use all the, you know, the elements to teach.
Right. So, you know, again, he's illustrating that.
That's right.
And
that needs to be said 100 times. It is. It's like us being born again.
mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's take it a step further, Kent. Spiritually, at our new birth, we really are like a new moon with just a sliver of the reflection from the sun, S-O-N. And as we become brighter with more of his reflection, we become more like a full moon.
And boy, I'm really seeing how often he uses his surroundings, like the seasons, the weather, you know, to teach us.
Even the lights in the firmament and the stars give the gospel in the Maseroth, it's called.
Too bad Satan had to pervert it with things like astrology.
Yeah, he does that with everything good. He perverts it all. But still, the true gospel really is there in the stars if you ever get a chance to study that aspect. But we got to move on because first we want to play a Hanukkah song. Because it is going to be Hanukkah starting next week. And this next song is by the Children's Village of Jerusalem. I like to play it every year. It's really sweet, and it's called the Hanukkah Song. Welcome back. Hour. That song was the Hanukkah song by the Children of Jerusalem. It's a great group.
Sheila, to speak at your church or group or have a question or maybe email farministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006 and please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministry.
Here to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well.
And the lines are open. The numbers for your in-time questions, 888-677-WORD.
Or you can email shofarlive@yahoo.com.
And just a quick reminder, your donations are tax-deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots.
Or you may use PayPal on our web. Or send your gift to Shofar Ministry, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Automatically puts you on my informative newsletter. So include well or regular mail address if you desire it sent that. We hope you will forward it and share with others.
And as a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian's 815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306 in Chesterland.
And please tell a friend about this end of days ministry. Referrals are always a good thing. Okay, let's continue on. And we're talking about Hanukkah. And wasn't that a cute song?
Yes, it was.
Hanukkah begins on the Jewish calendar every year on the same day. 24 at sundown, and it continues for 8 days. And I gave the dates occurring on our Gregorian calendar at the beginning of this program.
It's an amazing work of art. Weighing in. So Sheila, what's the real miracle of Hanukkah here?
Kill it. Well, actually, it's the oil in the seven-branched menorah. And a detailed description can be found in Exodus 40 as to how it was to be beaten, actually from one piece of pure gold.
Which, of course, is an amazing work. About 75 pounds.
That's right. But after the Maccabean army epiphanies, and by the way, we'll discuss him a lot next week and how he is a type of the Antichrist with some newer insights. He's grossly defiled the temple. So where it had to be thoroughly cleansed, and when they went to relight the menorah, they only had enough oil to last one day. Now, since it takes a week to hand press because they were not to use any heat, so you can imagine how surprised they were. Day's ration of oil actually lasted 8 days till more was processed. And it does take a long time to process this oil.
That's the real miracle, even over the fact that they beat their enemy in war.
Mm-hmm.
Named, was it Antiochus?
Yeah, it's, just call him A.E.
A.E.
Yeah, right. Bad dude. And again, we'll be talking a lot about him next week and how Antichrist, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, it's no surprise that the leader of the Maccabees, name is Judah. Soon another man from the tribe of Judah would come. Actually, conquer death as a man. And again, a second time, and I'm looking forward to that, to conquer the Antiochus protege named Antichrist, having, of course, who will finally be brought down, bound for 1,000 years. So I'm really looking forward.
Me too.
At the end of that time when we can come back to Earth and Trinity, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But look, God says it represents the church in Revelation 1:20.
Which makes total sense. Was the only light in the temple. Like, we are the only light. And because Jesus resides in us.
That's why we are the light, and our light is never to go out. And you know, at the age, after in Revelation, John in chapter 4, verse 5, up to God's throne, seven lamps are up there as well.
So, before chapter 6, when the seals are opened, the seven-year tribulation.
That's right. So it's before the tribulation starts. Yes, still another clue to add to that we will not be here for God's wrath, which can only who are not born again. You know, in the tent of the tabernacle, the first one, and as well as the glorious lampstand stood on the south side of the whole.
And so as you entered, it'd be on your left.
Now, the middle shaft of the menorah is called the Ner Elohim, meaning lamp of God. Or you can call it, meaning servant's lamp. And every morning, the priest place to replace the used oil. Now, if any lights had gone out, they would relight them immediately from the middle servant lamp, which miraculously always stayed lit. And I found that out actually looking at the Talmud in section Yomah 43:3. So these seven branches were, of course, designed by God himself and have never been polluted for pagan purposes as so many others have.
So you mean like and even the Star of David, which had been put in a circle for cultish purposes?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And boy, I tell you what, you see Satanists using the cross today. They wear it upside down a lot. They put it on their clothes. I've seen it actually put on the side of someone's head, you know, by how did you shave the hair really low, and then it's an upside down cross. It's pretty amazing.
It's disgusting.
It is. It's awful. Now, I have a menorah at home, and I occasionally even wear a small one on a chain around my neck. And the reason that I do that is because, according to Revelation, the menorah is our symbol of the church. And nobody really knows that. Hardly anybody, anyway. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. Also, did you know that Israel's coat of arms is a menorah surrounded by two olive branches based on the vision of Zechariah 4? And Kent, do you know what these olive branches are a symbol of?
I think in Romans 11, it talks a little about the Judaism and the Hebraic roots.
That's right. And if we get time, if we have time when we're done here, mm-hmm. I think we're going to go to Romans 11 and maybe look at that.
All right.
But let's continue on because I don't want to run out of time.
All right.
But basically, yes, they are the branches that come off of the root, and we are the wild branches that have been grafted in. And I have also learned that the wild olives produce more fruit. I did some research and found that out. Now, of course, because we are saved and we have the oil of the Holy Spirit, so we would definitely produce more fruit than the Jewish people did unless they were specially anointed like some were. I think of Abraham and I think of Elijah and probably Noah and Elisha and many others. But the Jews right today can also have more oil if they are regrafted in upon their salvation. So they can be the regular and then receive the Messiah and also be a wild one as well and have the Holy Spirit. And many are getting saved today. They really are. Mm-hmm. In fact, for the last 20 years, they've been slowly coming in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I could say the same thing about Muslims, too.
Yeah.
In fact, God is actually giving them dreams and visions, like he said he would in Joel 2.
Yep, it's happening just as he said it would.
It's amazing. And how wonderful it would be if we could replace Santa, which is really an anagram for Satan, with an 8-branch Hanukkah lampstand, and the kids could get one present every day for 8 days.
You know, granted, some days might be only socks or candy or even with their best present on the 8th day.
That's right.
Save the best for last.
They would love that. Mm-hmm. And since Hanukkah usually occurs in December, it's always, you know, near the traditional Christmas as well. But anyway, that's what I think is a great idea to do. But here's the real question. Those of you that are out there right now that are listening, is your light shining? You know, light is meant to be shared, not hidden under a bushel or under a bed, as Mark 4:21 says.
And don't you agree, like, the bushel could be, like, describing the cares of this life, or, you know, that could consume a person to the point of his or her light maybe even being eclipsed?
Oh, I absolutely do. And I tell you what, we are experiencing that so much more these last days because everybody's so busy. It just seems like the enemy is just flooding our lives and our minds with just things, you know? And do you remember the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31:18? And it says about her whose her lamp does not go out by night. You know, that's really talking about her righteousness. Not that she keeps the light on all night long. Uh-huh. But that applies to us too. Our lamp never should go out.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said in Revelation 2:5 to the first church at Ephesus who had lost their first love. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He said to repent, or he would remove their lampstand out of its place. So it's important that we hold on to that first love, that excitement of being first saved and starting to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems it's so easy to just let slack off till finally you just don't have that first love that you had before. And of course, you know exactly, because I teach it all the time, how not to let that happen. And there's really only one way. Do you know what that one way is?
I'm spending time in the Word would be my guess. You know,
that's the only way.
And that's what I hear you tell us often and often. So,
I do, because it's so important. You know,
you need that time.
Kent, I have to be honest. You know, as you probably know, I think I've told you, I was saved and then I backslid,
mm-hmm.
and I was hurt, and I blamed God, and I backslid for a long time, many years. And when I finally came back to the Lord, I said, Lord, I got to do it right this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came to me that I should spend more time in his word. And, you know, at the time of my backsliding, nobody had told me how important the word was. I was actually told it's important to be to,
Dawn is on the line.
To be at church at every single time the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And never really said a lot about the word, pray and worship. But they didn't push the word. And I know that that's what's going to actually keep us where we need to be. So, yes, I'm going to preach it until I take my last breath.
Sure.
So we have a caller on the line, and I want to welcome, I think I heard the name right. Is it Dawn or Don?
Dawn.
Dawn, is it Dawn?
Yes.
Okay. Speak a little louder, my darling.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm talking. In Jeremiah and 10:3, for the customs of the people are futile, for one cuts a tree from a forest, the work of the hands that the workmen with axe, they decorate it with silver and gold,
mm-hmm.
and they fasten it with nails.
Yes.
And hammers.
Yes. Yes.
That it does not topple.
Yes, and that is actually what they used to do, but it was particularly to their foreign gods. That's what they were doing it for. I believe that you can reclaim the tree and the lights and say that Jesus is the light of the world and he died on a tree. You can reclaim that. Now, again, it's all in the intent of the heart. They were doing that for foreign gods, false gods. And when we do it, we're in remembrance that Jesus is the light of the world and that he died on a tree. And that's what I believe. Now, however, I don't have a problem with anyone that decides that they just don't want to use the tree and they'd rather just use the Hanukkah candle, because I think that's the better way to go. How about you, Don? Do you agree with me there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why my voice is echoing.
We've been having technical problems tonight. It may not be your end.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Another Christian had pointed it out to me, those scriptures. And it's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. We should have a tree.
I've heard that before.
Almost like,
yeah.
Celebrating the 25th is Christ's birthday, and we all know he.
Yeah, I know. It's really an individual decision, something you got to pray about. And you're right. You know, like I said, it was used, but God looks at your heart, and that's the main thing. Where's your heart? And I think you should, as a born again Christian, also at least recognize Hanukkah. Teach your children.
And you know, one of the things I've also heard is that, that's the darkest time of the year, you know, and Jesus being the light of the world, we celebrate him.
Well, that's right.
And so.
Well, not only that, if you think about it, a lot of hearts are very open to hearing the gospel during that time. I don't understand it, but they're just nicer to hear it because they do believe that Jesus was born during this time. And it doesn't matter exactly. I mean, it does matter, but it doesn't really matter when he was born. It's the fact that he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to always remember that, but utilize the time and talk about him and hopefully bring a few more lost souls into the kingdom. Have I answered your question, Don?
You did. Thank you so much.
Oh, honey, thank you for calling. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
I'm going to get a donation to your minister.
Oh, honey, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
God bless.
God bless. Oh, that was nice.
That was very nice.
Mm-hmm. And I understand her thoughts on that, because something that we always deal with.
I question that as well.
Yeah.
Early.
But,
yeah.
Keep remembering that God looks at our heart, though. That's the number one.
And everyone has to settle it for themselves.
They have
quite
to.
Honestly.
They have to.
Yeah.
So now let me see. Where were we?
Well, I think the idea we had was, that, you know, on our previous programs, by the way, we talk about, you know, in detail how that you can know that Jesus really wasn't born in the winter months, but rather on the first day of the feast.
Right. I think most people have agreed to that fact,
yeah,
that he was born in the fall because the sheep aren't out in the winter anyway and all that stuff. So I think that's pretty obvious.
Cool.
But what's I like to, again, and I'm going to say this again, that the Feast of Tabernacles is a full moon, and it's interesting that it's called the Greater Feast of Lights. Because the full moon is a greater light, you know?
Right.
And again, Jesus called himself the light.
And that's exactly how our God would do it. He's so exact. You know, since Jesus is the light, he's a perfect fit. It's just amazing.
It's more than amazing, you know? I sit back sometimes in awe when I get a little gold nugget or something, and I almost can't catch my breath. That's how I feel about his awesomeness. He's just amazing.
And remember also, if you have Jesus in your heart, Christmas is almost every day, you know?
That's right. Yeah. It should be every day.
Yeah.
But I also want to point out, too, that he was born in a sukkah. You know, a sukkah is that mandatory booth that God said you must put up during the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths. And did you know that according to Genesis 33:17, that they would actually use that for their animals as well? So I could see, as Americans, we would think, oh, it had to be a barn because there were animals there. But in all actuality, it was a sukkah. And sometimes they had them all year round, and then they would decorate it during the Feast of Tabernacles and actually stay out in this tabernacle for a week. And they would have to make sure that they could see the stars through the roof. So there had to be some, you know. And it didn't rain a lot there, so that was a good thing.
And, you know, we're looking up, worshiping the Lord. And I'm sure he, you know, protected them during that week, you know.
That's right.
Maybe there wasn't any weather, rain in the forecast that week, you know.
That's right. So it's just amazing. And, you know, the language, when you read in Luke in that where it says, it's a season of joy, I bring you good joy, you know, when Jesus was born. All the language is the kind of language that they use during tabernacles. Mm-hmm. So there's just no, you know, doesn't surprise me at all. But as you said, if you have Jesus in your heart, every day is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe December is not the actual time for his birth, that I know. But his incarnation, which is in December, is really the bigger miracle. And look how everyone uses lights at Christmas time. And as I was telling Dawn, it's your heart that matters. And there are more people out there, I think, more in tune to spiritual matters during this time, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So he's the light that hung on a tree for you and me. So again, share with this information that we talked about tonight, and we're going to be continuing that next week, although we'll be talking more about the Antichrist probably. But again, you want to take some notes, share this information with others, and while you are doing that, be sure to look at the spiritual side of the rededication of your own temple, because you are a temple. You have Jesus living inside of you. So if you're backsliding, maybe you're not where you should be. Maybe you're not reading your Bible every day, or maybe you're not even reading it every week. It's time to get on your knees and to rededicate your own temple. And we're going to, in a few minutes, close with a prayer that you can kneel down and say along with me.
You know, I'm feeling convicted here because sometimes there are things that get in the way during life and compete for the time that I need to be spending in the Word. But and those are idols that I really have to be careful of to get out of my own life.
That's right. What is an idol?
Anything that competes against that time with the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the time in the Word
mm-hmm.
That I should be spending, and sometimes I have to admit I don't. But I need, you know, like anyone else, I'm sure, the cares of the world can compete for that time. And
that's right.
We have to be cognitive of that, I guess.
Absolutely. So. And, of course, the biggest idol in a lot of people's lives is that stupid television. And, boy, I'll tell you, that can take your attention, and before you know it, you're not in your Word, but you're watching the TV, so... In that case, it's an idol.
Well,
no doubt about it.
If I use that tool to study, you know, maybe there's a DVD or something.
Yeah, that's different.
A training disc or something.
Yes.
You know, that's a good thing.
And I do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we need to close. And just let me say, if you're listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord of your life, remember Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And He even today stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." That's in Revelation 3:20. But he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are also beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Maybe you are an in-name-only Christian, like Matthew 7 talks about, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction. Please get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal. Repent. Especially if your individual sin has a stronghold over you, then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah, to anyone who wants him. And persons, he takes you all. and God sends no one to hell. Choice. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call, so don't be a fool. And now we're going to close with the Aaronic blessing, which comes from number 6, 22 through 27. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yinecha, Ta'er Adonai panav elaka v'kuhneka, Yasa Adonai panav elaka v'yasem lachat.
And the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
That's right. So till next week, Sha'alub Shalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that's really the truth. And it doesn't say maybe. And you can read that in Psalms 1:6, and I hope you will. In fact, I hope that you'll memorize it. So have a good week. Don't forget to light your candle for Hanukkah, and we will see you next Tuesday.
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.